Good morning, everyone. Let's please turn to Matthew, and we're looking at chapter 21. And I'm just going to read again the parable that we're looking at. It's not very long, and it's important that we have it fixed in our mind. Verse 28, "But what think ye?" That was our first study, the words of the Lord to those who were listening, chiefly to the high priest's supporters. And that sort of crowd, he was addressing these words, "What think ye?" I pointed out that the Lord wants us to think. He wants you to think. He wants you to think today, now. He wants you to engage your mind in our study of the Scriptures. Not just sit there with your eyes open and a reasonable expression on your face, but everything else shut down. Like a computer. It's not doing anything, but it is a nice picture on the screen. But we want more than a picture. We want you to engage your mind, thinking, remembering, slotting away things that are said. "What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.'" Now they're thinking, these men that to whom the Savior is speaking, and they have listened to what he said, they've analyzed it, and they've given an answer. We believe the first one did the will of his father. "Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots, exceedingly sinful people, noted for their carelessness and their irreligious attitudes. And yet, despite the fact that they were sinful, they heeded God's word, believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now, the last time we were with you, we ended up our study considering how that there is not one sinner in heaven which sought God before he sought them. I was actually wanting to try and sing the hymn that we sung this morning, the last time we were together, only to discover it wasn't in our hymn book, which surprised me. We sung those wonderful words this morning, "'Tis not that I did choose thee for Lord, that could not be.'" And we were emphasizing that very fact, because you see here, it says that the Father went to the sons. They didn't come and say, "Oh, is there anything you'd like us to do?" No. He went to them, sought them out, spoke to them, and gave them his will and his purpose for them. The Bible supports this simple, plain doctrine, and I read out a few verses to you. The psalmist said in Psalm 18 and the verse 16, "He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters." It's all the Lord. He did the work. Do you realize today that if it were not for God, you would go to hell? That's where your feet would take you. That's where your mind would take you. That's where your heart would take you. If God left you to yourself, each and every one of us, God didn't step in to our lives, we would go to hell. That's where our hearts are inclined. Jonah 2:9, remember when he was in the belly of the whale, he prayed. What did he say? He said, "Salvation is of the Lord." That's what he learned when he was in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 86, verse 13, "Great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." And one other verse, we did mention it, I believe, last time. It's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." If you love the Lord today, and I hope there are many of you who really do love the Lord, well, just you remember this. You love the Lord because out of his love for you, he worked in your heart. And he placed in your heart that love that you have for him today. That's what we were looking at as we came to an end of our study last Thursday. Now, I want us to note one more factor, one more truth in this parable, and that is what it is that the Father wished the sons to do. What did he wish them to do? He says in verse 28, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And you know something? The world is filled with creeds and confessions and theological books that are that thick, all of which explain, expound what God's will and purpose is for you and for me. And I don't deride those books, creeds or confessions. They're all of a place. But you know, God tells us in a few words what his will and purpose is. Here it is. Go work today in my vineyard. That's God's purpose. And he says that to each and every one of you. That's where he wants you to be, in his vineyard. That's what he wants you to do, work in my vineyard. And he wants you to do it to start today. Oh, you say, I'm very, very young to be out working. You're never too young to serve the Lord. Do you remember the wee boy that had his lunch with him, and maybe he was carrying a little extra for someone else in the family, I don't know. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he gave them to the Lord. He was serving the Lord. Not only did he serve the Lord, but that little boy that day was a mighty blessing through the Lord's power to thousands of men and women who were hungry. But that little boy yielded up what he had into the hands of the Saviour, and he was working for the Saviour. It's only a little boy. Then you remember the little maid that we read about in 2 Kings, taking away a captive into the land of Syria. And if you listen at all to the news, you know that today in Syria there's a lot of terrorist activity and fighting. Thousands of people have been killed, and the most cruel and wicked things have been done. And little children have perished at the hands of cruel men. Perished most horribly. For there are those who drop gas bombs, gas that poisons, chokes anyone who comes in contact with it, especially children. That's what's going on in Syria today. Well, that's the Syria that's mentioned in the Bible. And this little girl, this little Israelite, was taken away there captive by those who came from Syria and raided into the territory of Israel, took her away captive. What did they want to do that for? A little girl. What did they want to do that for? Well, I would suggest, first and foremost, it would have hurt her parents. It would have vexed her parents. They mightn't have been able to strike the mother and the father with a sword. But they did worse. They took away their little child, and that was worse than any wound from a sword. How that would have hurt, and it's a hurt from which they would never recover. If you got cut by a sword, you'd probably lie in bed for a while, but the cut would heal up. The loss of that little girl wouldn't heal. Mother and father would pine for not knowing where she was, how she was. Can you imagine every day? We read of a family who lost a little girl while they were on holiday. Her name was Madeline. In years and years and years now, Madeline would be a teenager, I think, by now. They never found her. But they've never given up hope, mother and father. They've never given up hope. And there are policemen still involved in trying to find where she went, who took her. Can you imagine how they feel? Your mum probably, if things weren't too rushed, gave you a bit of a hug before you left. Spoke some wee word of kindness to you, maybe even give you a kiss as you left. But Madeline's mum and dad can never do that again. How they long to do that. Well, this little girl, stolen away by the Syrians and taken into their country and made a slave, she nevertheless never forgot the Lord. And she served the Lord and witnessed for the Lord, because the house to which she was taken was the home of a very senior army general, the leader of the Syrian army. A man that she had every reason to hate, because it was his army that had taken her away from her mummy and daddy. But such was the grace of God in that wee lassie's heart, that when she saw that he was a leper, she didn't say, "Oh, good, good, I'm glad you're going to die." No? She said, "You know, in my country, there's a man, a prophet of God, who could heal you." That's what she did. She told that man, that household, of one who could help. And that's what you and I are required to do. Speak of Jesus. Tell others around us there's a Savior. The prophet that she spoke of, Elisha, was a very wonderful man of God and could do many things under God, by God's power, but nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus can do. And we are called upon, as part of our duty, to go and work for the Lord. And that's what our work consists of, speaking for the Lord. No matter how young you are, you can do it. You can speak for the Lord. Well, the Father's will for his son was, go work today in my vineyard. God has a vineyard. God has a vineyard. And that vineyard is also called his kingdom. You read about it in verse 31 that we read, where the Savior then speaks of the kingdom of God. John was preaching, John the Baptist was preaching, and as a result of his preaching, there were those who obeyed his call, and they entered into the kingdom of God. That's what God's word here is referring to. The vineyard, it's a picture of God's kingdom, or the church. That collection of people on this earth, in every country, that belong to the church of Jesus Christ, who are truly saved, who are his elect, born again. That's where the Lord wants you to work. That's where the Lord wants you to work. Now let me tell you that by calling it a vineyard, by calling the Church of Jesus Christ a vineyard, the Savior is emphasizing something about God's church. I don't think there's too many of you who have ever visited a vineyard. We don't have vineyards in Ireland, to my knowledge. There's not enough sunshine to grow grapes and to ripen them. There are some vineyards down in the south of England because there's a little more sunshine there. But if you went over to the continent, to France, to Spain, Portugal, Greece, or to Israel, or indeed to where Mrs. Foster and me recently visited, out in Canada, in British Columbia, out in the west of Canada, there are many vineyards, many vineyards. And God here is speaking of the vineyard. And from the Bible we learn that the vineyard is always the choicest ground. The choicest ground. I was reading that yesterday in my reading in Isaiah, where the Lord uses this picture of his people. And he speaks of how he selected this piece of ground. He gathered out all the stones or anything that would hinder growth. It's always the richest, most fertile part of a man's farm that he turned into a vineyard. And not only the nature of the soil was important, but the actual position of it. It had to be situated so that it caught the sun. Over in Canada, I noticed how often you would find that a hillside facing the sun was the place where a man would plant a vineyard. The vines need the sun. Vines need the sun. And so this vineyard that God likens the church onto is a very special place, a fertile place. It's carefully and lovingly watched over. It's well protected. All of the vineyards I saw had high protective wire about it. I'm speaking of Canada because there's a lot of deer roaming wild in Canada. And I want to tell you that a fence that would keep a cow out or in, or an animal of that nature, will not keep a deer in. I cannot explain to you how wonderful it is to see a deer come up to a fence and look at it, and without any effort at all, whoop, out over that fence. 6 foot high, 7 foot high. It doesn't have to gallop half a mile and throw itself up in the air. It just can stand there and spring up and drop over ever so lightly and gracefully on the other side of the fence. Well, for that reason, in Canada, you see very high fences around vineyards to keep the deer out. And that's what God does. God fences his people. He fences his church. He protects it and looks after it, because what is in the vineyard is very special. It's very special. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the verse 6 reads, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." He was speaking there of the nation of Israel, but we can take his sentiments and apply them in this age to all those who are saved. As was Israel in the Old Testament, so today every Christian is a special, beloved individual. And God watches over his people, guards them, like the farmer guards the vineyard. It's a special place. It's a special place. 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. The eyes of God and the ears of God are ever open toward the church. Why? Because they're special. They're special. There's not a whisper goes up from a Christian, but God hears it, and God responds. You know, boys and girls, in this world, there's another crowd that makes much more noise than the Christians. The wicked, the noise of the wicked is terrible. Their lies, their scandals, their wickedness, their shamefulness, their rebellion against God is making a great noise. But God presently seems to ignore it to a great degree. There is a day coming when he will cease to ignore what the wicked is doing. But today, he seems to ignore it. But he never ignores his people. His eye is ever watching them. His ear is open to their cry. Oh, how attentive the Lord is. Go work today in my vineyard. The father was expressing his desire that his sons go out and take care of the vineyard. Watch out for the vineyard. Labor in the vineyard. Think on that today. Now we'll come back and continue our thoughts on just what it is to labor in the vineyard, labor in the church, labor amongst the vine. Oh, you give a little thought to that yourself, so that when we come back on Thursday, you might have something you could tell me that I hadn't thought. The Lord bless you. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless your word to the boys and the girls. May they look upon the church, the collection of Christians, in a new light. May they see them as God's vineyard, into which they are required to go and labor. Bless the school today. You know what's happening. You know the visitors that are coming. I pray, Lord, that you will undertake to your glory and honor. Hear our prayer. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.